Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast. My name is Mark. I am joined by that wet blanket, Miles. How's it going?
Another day, Mark.
Another day, another podcast. We are also joined by Jackie.
Hi.
And the three of us do this podcast about anime in general. It used to be about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and it will be again someday when they announce a Part 7 anime. And we are aware that we need to do Rohan at the Louvre, the animated film, which we'll get to. But most of the time, what did you say, Miles?
I said, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. The Louvre. I don't know if that's how you say it. But most of the time, we're just covering other anime. And for the next few weeks, we've got a bunch of lovely Patreon picks to talk about. And this week, we're kicking that off with Mobile Suit Gundam Char's Counterattack, which, when directly translated from Japanese, I think it actually means Mobile Suit Gundam Counterattacks Char.
No.
Like, it says Mobile Suit Gundam Char of the Counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Okay.
And we are going to get into that film in just a little bit. Because first, what we need to do is take a look in Correspondence Corner. This is a theoretical, metaphorical space where you listeners contact us with your thoughts, your recommendations, your opinions about what we're watching or what we should watch or dumb shit we have said. Let's see. So in the Correspondence Corner channel of the JoJo's Bizarre Podcast Discord, which you can join by finding the invite link in the description of this podcast episode, Aaron says, "Hey gang, hope you're all doing well. Next month, I'm going to my first ever concert and I'm very excited.
Ooh!
I've listened to the band The Feeling since I was 13 and now only just getting around to see them live. What bands or musicians have you seen live? If more than one, which was your favorite? Have a good week." Thanks, Aaron. I like seeing Godspeed You Black Emperor live. I would go see Nine Inch Nails live.
Have you seen them?
I've seen both of them several times.
Okay.
And very sad that I missed Aphex Twin doing a live set in Brooklyn. So if he comes back around, I will go to that. Oh yeah, my first concert, my first like rock concert, not my dad playing a fucking brass instrument, was Dragon Force. Believe it or not.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
It was fun, but they kind of sound like shit live, and I didn't really know that at the time, so I was just like, man, I don't know if I get rock concerts.
It's probably hard. Yeah, I can see it being hard for them to capture that live.
Some metal bands do it very well, but yeah, I don't. Maybe we were too close to the speakers or something, but after the show, I think I've just said this on the podcast, we hung out and we talked to the Dragon Force guys for a while. They're really cool, and then they like blew up huge, and it was impossible to talk to them after that.
You kept trying, though.
Just the next show, hung out for a minute.
They just wouldn't pick up our calls after that.
Yeah, I remember the second time we were going to go say hi to them and be like, hey, you remember us from before, blah, blah, blah.
But they had a bunch of groupies.
They had groupies, and one of them had a big wheel of cheese. Like he had to go put in their tour bus a big cheese wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know who brought them that.
That's what comes with fame, is lots like big wheels of cheese. They get bigger and bigger the
groupies
more famous.
Bearing dairy. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I probably have a long list, so I'll let Miles go first.
Okay. I'll narrow it down. I think probably my favorite show that I've seen.
Well, how many have you seen? Who have you seen live?
I used to go to a lot of shows. So I've seen a lot of people live. But I don't want to give you the whole list. I'm just going to tell you one. And I think it was LCD Sound System.
Oh.
In New York.
Did you
the Big Apple.
Did you believe the singer when he said Daft Punk is playing at my house? Did you think that he left Daft Punk playing at his house before going to that concert?
No, I think it was Bluster.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that a song name?
No.
I'm dumb.
But it was fun. I like when you can dance a little at a show.
Ah.
Yeah, dancing. I've seen a bunch. My first concert was the Spice Girls when I was 10. That was cool. I think I've mentioned Taste of Chaos, which was an emo-y. There was a bunch of different people there.
It was like a festival, right?
It was a festival. Yeah, I went to chaperone my sister. But like The Used was there, My Chemical Romance, maybe Simple Plan, I think Good Charlotte was there. It was a bunch. I think it was like the first year of Taste of Chaos, or like.
Where was this?
Like South Jersey. My dad drove us in his, like, I don't know if it was a van at that point. I don't know what it was. It was just a big car that had a lot of seats. And I was the one to chaperone my like little sister and all her friends. MySpace had a booth there. I remember that because I got MySpace underwear.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like if it was the 2005 Taste of Chaos, it was at the Tweeter Center in Camden.
That sounds right, because I think it was Camden. Yeah.
Also included Under Oath, Killswitch Engage,
yes.
Senses Fail,
yes.
Seosin.
I don't know them.
I've seen that, but...
Gosh, I'm just imagining how like tight everyone's jeans were.
There was moshing. There was a lot of tight jeans and little spiky belts and stuff. So that was cool. I've seen System of a Down, but like past... when I was older, as like a nostalgia thing. I've seen some like Spanish bands, like Scape.
We saw Beyonce.
Well, yeah, we saw Beyonce a bunch of times. I've seen Janelle Monáe, I think at least twice. Maybe just twice. I love Janelle Monáe. She's great. I think System of a Down is one of my favorite concerts. Just because that was a fun time.
Whoa.
It was outdoors. And Beyonce is always a good time. Kendrick Lamar was fun.
Sorry, one of the sponsors of Taste of Chaos, I don't know if this was all tour dates,
uh-huh.
But there's a Samsung sponsorship and there's a Nintendo DS sponsorship.
Okay.
At Taste of Chaos.
Okay.
Did you bring your Nintendo DS?
No, I didn't know about all that.
Probably missed out on so many street passes.
Oh, and I've seen Vanessa Carlton a bunch of times. I've seen Megan Dia.
I've seen Vanessa Carlton.
Oh, yeah?
I think we've talked about this.
Wait, did we? Why did you see Vanessa? When did you see Vanessa Carlton?
She came to my college.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I've seen Feist. I've seen a bunch. But I think my favorite are like the more nostalgic ones. Escape was really fun too, but it also wasn't fun. For reasons.
Okay.
Just some of the people in the show were, in the audience were making it not fun for me. And I'll leave it at that. I'll add one more. As a woman, they were making it not fun for me.
Mm.
So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks for that, Aaron.
Okay. This email is from Christian, and the subject line is, "You're telling me Char threw that asteroid?" And Christian writes, "Hey, gang, it's been a little bit since I last wrote to respond to Miles at the end of last episode. Yes, I do love Gundam a lot. I don't like all of Gundam as nearly as much as Votoms, but I digress. This movie is literally so great I could gush about it forever. My favorite scene is Amuro and Char fighting in the grass. I ship them so much and Tomino encourages it, kinda. He did really write them so you could possibly read them as gay and it's amazing. I also like Char's final words, as horrifying as they are. It reframes where his head is at the entire movie in my opinion. Also, besides early Gundam like 0079, Zeta, ZZ, and CCA, there are two other Universal Century works by Tomino, Gundam F91 and Victory Gundam. F91 is a movie that was supposed to be a TV show, but that never happened and no other movies were made. It's just kind of this frozen moment in time in Gundam. Victory was the most depressed Tomino ever was while making anime. I watched the show and it's real dire, to be honest. Luckily, he later bounced back with Tone. Well, that's all for now. Take care, Christian. P.S. Every time I close my eyes, Leia Soon is in my dreams telling me Char is pure. I should really charge her if she's going to stay in my head. Living rent-free in this economy? Wow. Thanks, Christian. And sorry, I used the wrong pronouns last episode. Christian is a they, it. My bad.
Thanks for apologizing, Miles.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Tomino is...
That's a lot of Gundam.
Tomino is funny. I read a Forbes article about this movie, and the writer like reached out to Tomino, and what he said about it is very funny, but we'll get there when we talk about... sorry, this movie, rather. I don't know if I just said episode.
This episode of this podcast.
Yeah. And also, learning when this movie came out means that it makes even less sense that it is filed under the 1979 series as like a separate season in Crunchyroll.
When did it come out?
It came out in 1988, like 8 years after the first season concluded. Like two other Gundam TV shows came and went before this came out. So someone at Crunchyroll, the playlist maker, is like, eh, it's got some of the same character.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Yeah, so that was an email sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. That's been Correspondence Corner. You can say stuff to us, and we'll probably repeat it into a microphone for posterity. Folks, we also have a Patreon. That's one way of interacting with us, where you give us money, and we give you thank yous. If you go to patreon.com/jjbpod, you can support the show for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which sometimes includes deleted audio from the main podcast feed. The thank yous for you $1 folks are very deep, but they are silent, because at the $3 level, we will say thank you out loud into the podcast microphone, which we're going to prove that we do in just a second, because I also want to tell you that the Patreon is where you can give us one time $15, and we will do an episode about an anime of your choosing. However, we will just watch three episodes of a show or one movie if it is not a very long movie. Let's say some thank yous.
So thank you to Elijah,
Gen X Anime Dad,
Josh,
Colin,
Clit Rocket,
Shun,
Hentai Homie,
I Love JoJo Uwu,
Daniel,
Soliloquy,
Kasoon,
Lord Zendar,
Jumbo,
Katie,
Bloof,
Aura,
Kane,
Mirror Man,
The Stand User, formerly known as Austin,
Tim,
Martin,
Aquosis,
Christian,
and
Chad.
Thanks, everybody. Patreon.com/JJBpod. All right, everybody, we are now going to talk about Mobile Suit Gundam, Char's Counterattack, which came out, as I said, in 1988, so that's after the original Mobile Suit Gundam, then Gundam Zeta, then Gundam ZZ, which might be pronounced double Zeta, I'm not sure if it's Zeta Zeta or double Z. We covered a little bit of, we covered a lot of Mobile Suit Gundam because we watched the summary movies. We saw the first three episodes of Zeta, and we've never touched Zeta Zeta, but I have not read good things. Apparently, they like went the complete opposite direction. Like, Zeta Gundam gets really dark, and so for Double Zeta, they were like, make it fun, and then apparently it's just like dumb. It's like super campy. But some people really like it. That's what I'm finding with all Gundams, is that some people really like it is the rule. I don't know if there's any show that's universally hated. But this movie is pretty widely loved. A lot of people say that this is the best Gundam movie. So it's 1988, and the idea was Tomino had written a novel that he wanted to adopt into a movie, and in part it was... Oh, yeah, the novel was called High Streamer. And I don't know if this was all in the novel or if it was added for the film, but as I say that out loud, it makes no sense. Fans wanted a showdown, a once and for all showdown between Amuro and Char. And this movie was supposed to be the fulfillment of that, because we don't know what happened in Zeta Gundam, but in the beginning, Amuro wasn't that big a part. They had this new guy, and Char was going by Quattro Bagina. I assume at some point he unmasked, or remasked.
He's not masked in this.
It's true. He's very unmasked in this. Yeah. Movie made a ton of money, 1.16 billion yen in Japan. And I think it's gorgeous. I think the drawing and animation are beautiful. It's I believe it's by Sunrise, who did all the fucking Gundams. There was work done by Gainax. And so Hideaki Anno, who did Evangelion, actually was one of the mechanical designers for this movie. And some of the ships, if you look at them, you can kind of see where Eva design kind of evolved from. I have other things to say that I researched, but how'd you guys feel about this movie overall?
I thought it was cool. I liked grown-up Amuro. I liked seeing everyone a little bit more grown up. I was upset at Char's, like, at what... I thought Char was, like, a pretty complex and cool character in Gundam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I totally bought this turn into, like, becoming a genocidal maniac.
Yeah, this should be called Heel Turn Gundam, am I right?
It was a real harsh heel turn. And, like, there's still, even though it's a later series, there's still that, like, retro goofiness where people just do weird things, and I didn't understand why. And it, like, it took me out of it a little bit, and it made me, like, not... It made me struggle to follow it a little bit.
Are you talking about how Quest and the other young people just seem to live on impulse alone?
Yes, I really...
Quest was such a weird... She's so weird. She's a weird character.
I hated her.
She didn't have a coherent, like, personality or self. I don't know. She was kind of all over the place.
And I can understand that she's like a capricious teen. You know, that's what they were trying to do. But I was like pretty happy when she died.
I was also happy. I was waiting for it. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I want to call her like a manic pilot dream girl, I think is kind of where my brain was going, where she's just like, I love every boy, and just sort of flies off in a direction, literally or metaphorically. I don't know if I want to do a beat by beat for this.
I can't do it anyway, because I wasn't taking good notes. You know,
it's impossible to take notes on this movie.
And you guys, you're on this podcast with me, the listeners, you listen to this podcast, you know I have a hard time with Gundams. So I had a hard time even just paying attention when there were space fights. I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't care, you know? And so I think that this is going to be my last Gundam that I watch with you guys.
Okay.
The next time we have a Patreon pick or whatever, just like get a guest, because they're going to be more useful than me in these episodes, you know? I just have a really, really hard time. Or maybe we can have a new tier that's like, pay $500 and Jackie will like...
Jackie must sit down.
Jackie will watch it twice because I won't like get it the first time. Like, because I won't be paying attention. I don't know. Like,
I think in your defense, like so much stuff happened.
It felt also like we hadn't seen... I've blocked things out of my memory. I remember these characters... And I like vaguely remember what the war is about, but like
this is the second war.
Things just like start, and I'm like, "What is happening?"
So can I read to you
who's who here? And it's like kind of a time jump, so things have changed. Mm-hmm. Like when we first see Char, I didn't realize it was Char. I was like, "Who is that guy?" I called him. Yeah, I forget what I write down at some point in my notes. I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute, that's Char."
That's him. That's his counterattack.
Yeah. Anyway.
I want to read to you the beginning of this Letterboxd review of this movie from Imperial Leatherosa. Has there ever been a film less interested in making itself understandable to a wider audience than Char's counterattack? Hell, even Gundam veterans are going to say, huh, several times in the first 15 minutes alone. Without so much as a title card of text establishing what has come before, we're dropped straight into the conclusion of a series that never existed. The pacing is absolutely breakneck for the first hour and a half? Not only are we on the final episode, but all we're getting are highlights. Curious about where Amuro and Char have been since Zeta Gundam? Sorry, no time. You don't know what Londo Bell is? Too bad. Next scene. Hey, it's characters you don't know. Don't blink. And yet it works. This is the third time I've seen this film, and each time I do, I like it more.
Well, and I can understand liking it more the more you see it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you'd have to watch it more than once just to like catch everything.
Well, I think the problem is that we didn't really watch Zeta. I don't know what happens in Zeta, other than I can now assume that Amuro and Char do not die. Mm-hmm. Strangely, I didn't see the main character from Zeta, so I have some suspicions. But it's like there's that, then there's the new tech, like they keep talking about funnels. And I was like, what the fuck are fin funnels?
I like the fin funnels.
I looked it up and I get it more now. And it's like evolving the whole new type psychic control type of thing.
It sounds funny though.
But they did all this stuff and they threw in new characters at us.
And Quest is a stupid name.
And Quest, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about
What's Quest? What is that? Where did that name
Quattro
come from?
What's Quattro Vagina? I don't know.
Those are
Quattro Vagina.
What's Quattro Formaggio?
It's got four holes down there.
I don't know.
The female echidna has four vaginas.
Okay.
That's a joke for anyone who's seen an echidna penis, by the way.
Who are the characters we know? We know Amuro.
Mm-hmm.
We know Char.
We know Bright Noah.
Bright's still around.
Lala?
We remember Lala.
Yeah, she was
right. We only saw her in the movies, though.
She's still somehow around.
She came and went really fast because we saw her in the movies.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the psychic amplifying thing. It seems like some non-new types can do psychic stuff. And there's also something that helps amplify new types' psychic abilities. And it just looks like a T, Tetris piece.
Yes, the letter T.
And it kind of floated around after someone died. We briefly see the what was her name? What was Bright's wife? She also worked on the
Mirai.
Ship. Mirai.
I didn't know that they got together. I guess they did. I don't think they get together in the show, do they?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, we see not only her, who's now married to Bright with a kid, two kids. We see her ex-husband, who I think we do see in the movies. Her ex-fiance, I think we did see in Gundam.
Right, the auditor guy, the like real square-looking dude. I didn't realize that. Okay, well, you got a good memory.
He provides some vital information in this one, too.
Yeah, I like that he was like, well, I care about Mirai. He was like, I care about her. That was nice. They brought back Haro. We remember Haro, the ball robot.
Oh, yes. The ball bot.
Yeah.
The balls bot. We don't have Char's sister, but I don't remember if we saw her die or anything.
I don't.
Also, I can definitely see Char being gay in this because his like partner lady.
He's not really interested in any of the women who are interested in him.
He's sort of
interested
plays them.
In them, but only for their like powers.
Right. Not romantically.
But I think also Nanai, he does hug and that does seem genuine when he's like, I need you and your support.
Yeah.
But at one point, she has her cleavage out in front of his face, and he's like, I have to go. He gets up and leaves. I was like, what? This was your chance to be like, look, this is a movie for people who grew up with Gundam or whatever. But no, he's like, I'm not interested in boobs. Hmm. He just wants a hug.
Is he the one that tells someone that they could be his mom or something?
Yeah, he does say... Oh, no, he says, like... I think Quest was looking to him partially for daddy appreciation.
Yeah, that he can't be a father to her. But I think there was somebody else that he said could be a mom for him or something.
I think maybe he kind of says that of his partner.
Yeah.
Of Nanai. Nanai is mom in Tagalog.
Really?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I bet it maybe is why they used it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I liked that evil lady Resin, but then she dies.
Which one was she?
She had purple lipstick and
short
hair.
Cool.
She fought on the bad guy's side, on Neo Zeon.
I can't show you.
But she's not a new type. She's just a regular.
A regular, an old type.
You know what's, well, like, the weird thing about Quest having daddy issues is that she has a dad.
And she murders him.
And she murders him.
I guess murder's the wrong word. She kills him.
Yeah.
And Hathaway kills fucking Amuro's girlfriend slash mechanic. That's a weird relationship, but okay.
Chan.
Yeah. And they make a point of pronouncing it as Chan. They don't say Chan.
Mm.
They try to hit that vowel.
Mm.
Chan.
So I want to read to you guys something that I thought was funny. There was a Forbes article from 2018, and this guy's writing about how much he likes this movie, and I get the sense that Tomino is very hard on himself. Because when I read
this
about
is noted
this,
financial publication Forbes.
Correct. In general, I've seen Tomino be like, yeah, I don't know if I like that movie, like that he made, but I'm going to try to go through this fast. He said, because he asked him about new types, the psychic post, you know, space, born in space people that can notice things, feel things, sense each other, kind of like the Force. While I was working on Mobile Suit Gundam over the course of 10 years, I began to think about how human beings might improve and evolve. Unfortunately, I was unable to properly get this idea into the original Gundam, in that I was unable to present an adequate form of a more evolved human. In terms of describing this idea in subsequent Gundam series, I wasn't able to do that either. In terms of the later Gundam stories I worked on, trying to show how a human might evolve into something better, it would usually be described as something like a god, but that's not what I intended. New types are just evolved beings, not gods. I don't think the later Gundam series were able to adequately show what that might be. That said, about 25 years ago, I tried to get, and I think 25 years ago would have been Char's counterattack. That said, about 25 years ago, I tried to get at the core of this new type idea, and it resulted in a type of human that could comprehend someone else without any misunderstanding. However, I couldn't really make a compelling story out of it. In short, it didn't become a story. So I couldn't do it, and I've been stagnating since, and I've recently caught a cold as well. And then he laughs.
He's like, and everything is wrong. Everything is bad.
So he's like, yeah, I can never express what I was going for with the new type thing. And when I finally did, it wasn't really much of a story.
Him and Anno and Miyazaki are just so hard on themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's a good trait for us, the audience, but it does not seem like a very satisfying way to go through life.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know this was a Tomino work, you find out a little over halfway through when three people get slapped in the face.
Oh, yeah. Big slapper. I love slaps.
Three slaps, but no man hitting woman in the movie, I don't think.
That's good.
I think it's girls hit girls, boys hit boys, as it should be.
Here's my big question about this movie.
What's up?
Okay. So an asteroid is about to land on Earth at the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Quest and her dad are at the airport.
Spaceport.
Yeah, why isn't everybody at the fucking spaceport? An asteroid is about to hit Earth.
Well, do they all know it's happening?
They can see it.
Isn't that later in the movie that they see it blocking out the sun?
I think they know. Like, you would see a big fucking guy in the sky.
Yeah, but at a certain point in the timeline of this show, like, there's always, like, spaceships and stuff flying near your planet. You know what I mean? You're probably like, oh, it's another space cruiser here to take New Zealand out into space. You know?
Okay.
I don't know.
Do you think they kept it quiet from the whole planet?
Yeah. I think you just, you know how people are. They're dumb. You just say like, oh, that's a friend that's blocking the sun. Mm. It's a friendship.
Mm.
It's friendship.
Okay.
Was it blocking the sun?
At one point, yeah, okay. It does get in front of the sun. Do you guys feel like I just don't understand Char at all because
I one of my notes is like, is he Hitler now?
Yeah. Well, in the first one, he is mad at the Zabi family, I believe, for like, I think they kill his dad,
yeah,
or they
yeah.
sideline his dad.
And yeah, they're he very was fascist. Siding with the Nazis, yeah. but he's like not them.
He was out for himself, and he liked when they died. Mm-hmm. And then he did, I don't remember this, even though we saw the summary movies, but he did help Amuro's cause at the end of the original series.
Mm.
Then in Zeta, from what we saw, he's under a new name and he's with Neo Zeon, but they're kind of the good guys because the Earth Federation has become too domineering. And they have the sort of fascist Titans group that are like, you must be Earthborn only, no space noids allowed.
Right.
Obviously, with new types, they're just going to fucking lose. Don't really know how Zeta went. But yeah, it seemed like he was on track to be like a good guy. And now he's just like, yeah, I'm the supreme leader, even though he's occasionally like, ugh, it's so boring being a politician. But he's like, let's kill the Earth. Let's liberate everyone from the planet. And no one does the legwork here. No one tries to be like, well, see, here's why it would be good. And in this day and age, it's super easy to get into space. So no one's going to die. Everyone's just going to be fine and liberated. Like, even that is still unethical. But no one is like, hey, you're going to kill billions of people? Mm-hmm. Are you okay with that, freak?
Yeah, is that his intention, to kill millions of people? Or does he just want, like, is it that he wants to ruin Earth so that everyone has to be a spacenoid like him?
I believe it's that. But
this is like a real collateral damage-y way to do it.
Well, it's also like, even if you think like, okay, well, there will be less ideological divide once everyone is born into space. Like, there's still going to be people who remember Earth and are going to be zealots about that, you know? Mm-hmm. About like, my parents... When I grew up, all my parents talked about was that they used to have a planet and it was nice, and now I hate everyone.
Nobody's going to be like, oh, you know what? He dropped an asteroid on me, but you got to hand it to him. He's got some good ideas.
Now I can control my fin funnels with my mind.
Right. It's like, he's like trying to be like the dad who hits his kid and is like, it's good for you. You know, like, the kid doesn't grow up and think like, thanks for hitting me, dad. You made me a more disciplined person.
But they mostly also hit other people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so this is like, it's collective punishment. It's bad.
It's on a very big scale. Yeah.
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 I think my pick for dumbest name in this movie is Gune Gus.
Okay.
But he's voiced by the Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop voice actor, Koichi Yamadera.
Okay, which one was he?
He is the also like thinly written guy. He's a young man who fights for Char, but he likes quests.
Oh, he's like dark hair? Oh,
right. Yes. He's like a dark and broody guy.
He was like an engineered new type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quest's last name is Pariah.
Yeah.
Which is weird. She's not really a pariah, but strange.
She was a little bit of a brat. Okay, here's the other weird thing about Quest.
Uh-huh.
So she gets brought on board. She's just a teen, right? She's not in the military.
Uh-huh.
Until, like, she gets recruited into the Char organization. But, like, these military organizations, like, they just have teens around. Like, they have military secrets, but also there's teens around.
Yeah, they're the children.
I had a hard time, like, figuring that out.
I guess they're the children of the some of the people in the military, right?
Well, no, they also are just okay with child soldiers in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that way kids will read it.
Right. And yes, that's a big part of Gundam. And I think child soldiers, like, kind of worked out in the original Gundam that we watched, but these child soldiers didn't.
Yeah, I can't believe they let Quest out of the spaceport at one point, when it's just Nanai and the other guy, and Quest wants to leave, and Nanai's like, I'll leave it up to you, to the other guy, and he hits the button. I was like, no one would hit the button. Everyone knows how fucking, like, manic this little girl is, and all she wants to do with her psychic powers is win over boys. But yeah, she's kind of a net negative, isn't she?
She's really good. She's like naturally talented at flying a mobile suit. But yeah, I think she doesn't have a lot of wins under her belt.
I do like when she jumps out of her ship through naked space without a spacesuit on.
Yeah.
Into Char's cockpit.
Yeah.
I thought, what a psycho.
And she just like holds, I liked that they were thoughtful enough to have her like cover her ears and mouth.
Mm.
To keep the pressure from blowing her little face up. But I don't know if that would work.
I'm not sure either. I know I'm jumping around a lot. But he, as I mentioned, Hideaki Anno from Gainax of Evangelion fame did mechanical designs on this movie. He did the Relua, which is the bright red ship that Neo Zeon uses. Again, I think like you can look at it and kind of see Eva. But this article from Zimmerit.moe says that he also designed cockpits for mobile suits, colony laser cannons, patrol boats. And he received design requests for other items, such as food trays. But Okada, the president of Gainax, determined that the budget given to them was used up, and Gainax's involvement stopped in the middle of production. So they just had Anno and the other guy designing so much shit that they just ran out of money. And their boss was like, stop. Don't do any of those food trays. Let Sunrise do some of the shit, goddammit.
I guess money was always tight for Gainax.
Well, I think they're smart. They're saying like, no, you gave us this much money to work on this movie. We're not gonna keep fucking making shit for you. Yeah. It's not about tight money, it's knowing your worth.
Well, I also know that they ran out of money on Eva, right?
Yes, they did. They ran out of money and they ran out of time, which is that's the thing that like people think that the last episodes are so underdeveloped because of money, but I don't remember if it was Anno or someone else from Gainax that was like, the real problem was time, is we would just sit around and we couldn't decide on what we were going to do. And so we ended up not really having a finished product when it was time to put it on air.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Nowadays, they just compensate with 3D.
This movie, it reminded me of the last season of Game of Thrones. And I guess not really the end of Eva, but like it just seemed too fast paced to understand why anyone was doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think Amuro is good and he's likable in this. Yeah, because he is grown up. But yeah, Char's motivation feels underdeveloped. Maybe we'd feel differently if we saw Zeta. But definitely Quest and Hathaway and like that whole love quadrangle, that love rhombus, just a bunch of the new people all like show up, do things, and die. And it's a little like, whoa.
But
it's
even
a lot.
Beyond that, it's like, why are people where they are? Like Amuro's driving around and he runs into Char on a horse.
Because Char was secretly at a meeting with the diplomats where they were buying the asteroid belt.
But then why is the Supreme Leader riding around on a horse where he can run into Federation troops?
I don't...
Yeah, that's true. It's weird that they just like happen to run into each other like, oh,
it'd be detectable.
You're the famous, like, important Char.
They would detect a ship. He needed a horse. Instead of Minofsky particles, they have pro-horse particles.
I guess you could explain it by, like, they're, much like people with stands, they're drawn together because they're both powerful new
red
types.
String of fate.
Mm-hmm. That red G-string of fate.
Ew. Wait a minute, not you. let's see here. Yeah, I know that Hathaway, I don't know if he goes on to be a big character, but I know there's like a novel or a OVA called like Hathaway Flash or something.
I think he gets his own movie or show.
Yeah, something like that. And did you guys see the early CG, that big like cylinder that's rotating in space?
Not bad.
I thought it looked okay. It's like definitely running at like a low frame rate, but I thought they mixed with it decently.
Yeah,
it looks fine.
And they were refugees of some place, I think.
Who?
I'm pretty sure Char mentions it when he's giving a propaganda speech type of thing. Did you guys all
stuff, man? His whole speech was just backstory, right?
Yeah, well, thank God. We needed that.
Yeah. I was like, please tell a little more. Enough of show.
Did you guys notice at one point they talked about like, oh, you have to call him, and they were like, the microwave signals aren't getting through. That they call with microwaves. And okay. I wanted to ask you guys, what if you could choose your own custom contact number on a microwave, what would yours be? I think mine's potato, if I can have my druthers.
Like what hitting do you have button. To microwave for someone to contact you?
I was just thinking, what buttons would people have to hit to get your phone?
Oh, I see. Oh, +30.
Ooh. Wait. +30, like you get the start button?
Some on mine, it's a separate button.
Okay.
I think.
Jackie, what do you got?
Give me think.
Power.
Okay. You don't even have to input a power level.
It's just power.
Okay.
You hit power. And then if you want, you can hit whatever number you want after that, I guess. I don't know. Just hit the power button. And then I answer.
Defrost. Popcorn.
Popcorn, absolutely. That's a popular one.
We have a beverage button.
7.
Okay.
We have dinner, I think.
Yeah, we
have frozen vegetable.
Dinner makes me laugh every time.
Frozen vegetable is a button, I think.
Yeah.
Right now we have 2 microwaves for some reason.
Whoa. One for dairy, one for meat?
When we moved in, we thought our apartment had a built-in microwave, and we learned it did not, so we had to buy a microwave. But then recently our apartment was like, hey, we're installing built-ins everywhere, and we still haven't gotten rid of our old microwave.
That's funny. Yeah, you got to put that on Craigslist.
Two of us want popcorn at the same time. We can do that.
Yeah. I also have here in the notes that they still need to lock mobile suits because, again, Quest Pariah just hops in a robot. I think Minovsky particles also block, like, locks or, like, a pin code.
So many kids are stealing mobile suits in these shows.
They're too liberal with that stuff.
But you know what? Like, it happens all the time that people's cars get stolen because they leave the keys in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like maybe humanity doesn't evolve past that.
Even if you're born in space, you don't think to lock your vehicle.
Right. It's like not something covered by being a new type.
Miles, because you read the news, I trusted you back there, but what the fuck do you mean people leave their keys in their cars?
People do that.
Yeah, it happens so many times. Like, especially in New Jersey, when people in the winter, when people are warming their cars up, they'll just leave the keys
in there
while they're warming up. Especially in like these rich towns, like those cars get jacked all the time.
That's
or
okay.
Leave
I thought
them
you meant
running when they're like getting a bagel.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
I thought you just meant like someone scourge. Parks their car and just leaves it in the ignition. Like it's convenient. They just. Want to run out there and turn the keys. But yeah, leaving it idling, still stupid as hell, but I understand a little bit more.
I'm glad. I left my car running for a long time in a parking garage once, thinking I had taken my keys with me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But you didn't lose it.
No, it was weirdly fine.
While watching this, I thought to myself for a moment, I was like, it's annoying how good Quest is at being a pilot right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about how mad people were at Rey from Star Wars.
But all the little boys in these fucking animes are like that.
Exactly.
Too.
I had to remind myself, I'm like, well, because that's the thing is
these like a lot of these animes are just like, there's a boy and he's special and oh my God, he can do the thing.
Well, that's what's
like,
good about Eva.
People get mad when a girl does it.
well, that's the thing that's fun about Eva is that Shinji sucks ass and he sucks ass at it for a while.
No, but he's still like good. Like the whole reason why he's in it is because he has a connection with the
thing. But that still doesn't translate to amazing combat. The first fight is a complete failure.
He's good, but he's like too emotional in his head.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that they did kind of retcon it. I know they eventually explained that, what's his name? That Amuro was able to pilot the Gundam because of new typeness. But the new typeness, all I don't think that was all planned from the start. I think in the beginning, he's like, good thing I read my dad's whatever.
Yeah, like his dad worked on it, so he was familiar with the tech already.
Yeah, he was a Nepo pilot.
he was a Nepo pilot.
And then the Zeta kid also gets in and is like, oh, I read my dad's emails. But by that point, then it's like, okay, buddy, you're a new type, so you can psychically know how shit works.
All right, I'm on the Gundam Wiki.
What do you got?
And can you guess how old Quest is supposed to be?
16.
14.
30.
Ew.
Whoa.
Feels weird now, right?
It's definitely weirder, but I'm not super surprised. It is also weird that I think at some point Yune Goose says to her, like, oh, or Char says, one of them says, like, oh, he's supposedly a lolicon. Like, he's into little girls.
Yes.
But I don't know.
People think he's into young girls.
Yeah, and Char is a piece of shit. At no point is he like, hey, you're a little girl and I'm dating an adult woman. Instead, he's like, yeah, I'm just nice to her because she's like a... I think that might be, Jackie, where he's like, she's like a mommy figure or something. Like, he is just immediately like, I'm going to lie to this little girl because she's good at piloting the Gundam.
Yeah.
He's such a piece of shit in this movie. I don't know how he got so shitty.
So is he just like racist against humans? Like, what's his philosophy?
I don't know.
Like, on paper, it's he wants everyone to be a new type. He wants humanity to evolve. And he thinks people on Earth can never evolve because, like, the key to being a new type is that your brain has to expand when you're in space I don't know, it just does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so by blowing up Earth, he's going to evolve everyone. He's a little bit like Magneto-ish, I guess.
He's like Voldemort.
No. He's got a nose.
All right.
He does have a nose, that's true.
Yeah, there's definitely a bunch of tech talk in here that was not known to us. We did not know about the Psy-Kamu, or then why the psycho frame that built on top of it. And the funnels,
T is for thinking.
T is for thinking. Yeah, is that which one was the psycho frame? What was the fucking floating T?
It was a little bit Space Odyssey, I guess. Like, it was a tiny little monolith. But it was a T.
I'm going to Google and see if...
I liked the design of the new Gundam.
Oh, here we go. Someone on... the new Gundam... Sorry, yeah, the new Gundam did look cool. It has a shield, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool.
I liked the funnels, though. I liked the idea of that.
That they're like an extra laser thing that you can kind of have it fly around to protect you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're even...
I had that.
They even make like a shield around Amuro. At one point, they make a little pyramid.
Yeah.
They
have those in the other Gundam that I'm watching.
Oh, in...
Witch from Mercury.
Witch from Mercury. Ah.
If you're gonna like any Gundam, it's that one. But I understand if you're Gundam bound.
I'm done with Gundam. Which Gundam would I like?
It's the newest one, the Witch from Mercury.
Oh, crap. Should I make that my last Gundam? I don't know.
If you don't like that, then it's over.
Alright, maybe we'll watch that. Or maybe I'll watch that one. That's it. I'm tired of Gundams. Is Char in it? Is Amuro in it? Or is it all new people?
It's all new people.
A whole new story.
I kind of want to see Kukuru's Doan's Island. That was just a remake of the shitty Korean-produced anime episodes from the original that they made like last year. There is a post here on GameFAQs. that I think is just about Gundam games in general, and someone said, what's that floating tea, that green floating tea thing in Char's Counterattack? And Shaded Phoenix, 6 years ago, said, it's a piece of psycho frame that reacts to psycho bullshit. Chan had it in CCA, then got killed, so it ended up floating in space and glowing as a symbol of human will after all the psychic bullshit happened, and the psycho frame mobile suits were destroyed, and everyone else in CCA died except Bright and Hathaway. So, I don't know. This guy explained it pretty well. The T is part of the psycho
frame.
Did
everyone on Earth die? Did that happen? No.
No, this guy's exaggerating. Not everyone in Char's Counterattack died.
Okay. Did you like the ending of this movie?
It is surprisingly unsatisfying for what it's supposed to be. Right?
The power of love.
Why were you unsatisfied, do you think?
Because, like, I don't know. Neither Char nor Amuro die. And
they both die.
Wait, they do?
Yeah, I think they're dead.
So this guy is right when he says everyone died?
Yeah. I was just wondering, I think the people on Earth are alive, but I think Char and Amuro are dead.
Wait a minute. I'm looking this up. Let's see. Status. Expand. Killed in action. Oh my god, there's Char clones? Or is this just Char? It says, there's a section on the Gundam fandom that says Char's archetype. And then in parentheses, Char clones. Like for real clones,
well,
or what?
All, we've definitely seen other masked Gundam villains.
Yeah. Oh, it says here, Axis then changes course and the mission ends in failure. The whereabouts of the two men after that are said to be completely unknown.
Oh, I thought they were dead.
Oh, wow.
I think they're dead.
Okay, I thought they got out of there somehow. Whoa, apparently it looks like he has an Eva moment, according to this article. That he felt the light that was warm and gentle. He remembered the warmth of Lala Soon and the other women, and he became angry and cried like a child and understood. Yeah, this is a very, like, life stream moment. The way that, like, all the psycho energy starts pushing on the asteroid. Do you guys remember in Final Fantasy VII when all the green life stream shit came out? And just helped?
No, I never finished that game.
Okay. Well, I kind of brought it up because I didn't understand it then. And because I didn't understand it then I don't understand this. And that's kind of how it felt, where it was like, whoa, the will of everyone is protecting the planet or something. And I was like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
It was vague what was happening, right? I mean, you didn't even know they died.
That's the thing, is I was touched by all the pilots who did throw themselves against the asteroid at the end. I thought that was really cool. But then, yeah, when the spirit stuff started happening, I was like, I don't really get it. And I just, yeah, I felt like the movie then just rolled credits while I thought everyone was still alive.
Yeah, I mean, they do.
It is never officially stated.
Does enough to save the Earth, but I don't think the mechanism for that happening was, like, super explicit.
Yeah.
But they both died.
Apparently they turn into green new type love energy, according to someone on the internet.
Come.
I'm pretty sure I said green back there.
But
yeah, in the novels apparently they are confirmed as dead. Hmm. But in the animations, it's who knows? They're missing.
So they both are, like, yelling at each other. And maybe this is on me as a viewer, but I don't know if I got, like, why. I don't know if I felt watching it like, oh, okay, I get your motivation now, Char.
Yeah, I that's the thing, is it feels a little half-baked, his philosophy. I don't really get it. And it doesn't seem worth the cost. Like, whenever, if you force people to evacuate a planet, it's not going to be 100% of people that make it off and survive. That's just not how history works. I wanted to look up IMDb trivia for this movie, and it's all the nerdiest possible shit that you would expect from the nerdiest Gundam fans. You were saying?
Having talked about it, I feel like having talked about it more, I think it's really ambitious, and I appreciate that ambition and like the way it looked and the money that was spent on it, but I have a hard time getting around why is Char doing this? Why are you counterattacking Char?
Yeah, I think I liked the rest of it. It is, though, in the beginning, considering that, again, we missed all of what was happening in Zeta, but it does feel like in Zeta, he's like assembling a new force to fight Ayug or whatever the Earth Federation became. Or are they Ayug? I don't know. But then in this movie, it starts and they're like, damn it, how did he build such a huge army right under our noses? And it's like, yeah, this is a thing you crammed into that ellipsis. Like, I mean, I don't know. Again, maybe this was, maybe at the end of Zeta, it was big and open and ready for this movie, but I suspect that's not the case. So yeah, it felt like the writers just went like, what if Char was big and powerful and in a position of power again? And then it sort of hastily came together. But I thought it looked great if it, because it's like, it's still pre-digital minus that one piece of computer animation that I thought looked fine. But just like facial details are much better. Like shading and shadows looked great. Animation was smooth, even if, you know, some of the space battles weren't super easy to follow. There were some definite cool moments. People getting ripped apart, shot through. When Quest kills her dad, the way like everything in the cockpit goes white and they turn into like black sketch outlines of themselves. It's a bunch of really cool shit on display here. And yeah, I feel like you don't need to watch every single Gundam episode before this because you're going to be a little confused no matter what.
Right.
But I would recommend it to people.
Say the value of watching this, like one nice thing about knowing that backstory is like Amuro, former annoying child soldier, is now confronted with another annoying teen, and like now he's the mature one. Like that was a nice little payoff from watching the original Gundam.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about some of these series is, and like JoJo is watching characters grow up, but then Char seems to lose dimensions in the process.
He's just lost his mind a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe in the end credits, they should have been like, also, he lost his mind from cancer treatments. I don't know. I heard someone say that can happen from chemotherapy.
Do you agree with Christian's Amuro Char ship?
No, I can absolutely see why people do that in general. I mean, when you have two dudes that are just angry at each other and you make them wrestle. And it's not like a serious, like when one of them like
Amuro
is really violent, then maybe not. But
Amuro was kind of dating, who was it? Chan.
He kisses her.
Yeah.
Right on the mouth.
Yeah.
I buy that they hate each other.
Yeah. I didn't really get the vibes in this. Maybe in a, but Char could, but I think you said this before, Mark, that I could also buy that Char is gay.
He's just not into women,
or
at least.
Not into, maybe he's ace.
He's just sort of like, I'm gonna play with ladies' hearts a little bit so they fight good.
Yeah.
And maybe so they provide me emotional support, but ultimately it's fine. I don't really need to get it on. Yeah, and if Char is mad at Amuro about Lala Soon, that's not enough. You can't throw a thing at a planet just for that.
Yeah, that's too much.
But yeah, I still don't know what Londo Bell is. And that's fine. I'll probably look it up. But man, there is a lot of people who really catalog technology and stuff. Like I went to look up what a funnel was, or fin funnel, and someone had like a breakdown of all the different like versions of it and how they were all conceived, not like in a pulling back the curtain sort of way, but like a in-universe explanation for how they were invented and refined and stuff. And it was cool, but a lot of it bounced right off my brain. It was too much. Yeah. Overall, I enjoyed my time.
It was a good watch.
All right, guys. Let's talk about what
too
we're going to...
stuff.
Yeah, unless... Does anyone have stray thoughts?
No.
No, this whole thing was stray thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh. That's true. Let's see. Oh, I wrote a note I forgot to read here. It was about Quest. It was before she died. I wrote, I want this child to die.
Oh.
That's what I wrote.
I didn't hate her, I think, as much as you guys did.
She was annoying.
I just didn't like her.
As the father of a daughter.
Nah, she sucks. I also wrote...
What's next week, Mark?
Regarding Nanai, I wrote, come on, Char, bang this lady out. But he didn't do it.
She deserved it, right?
Yeah, she was cool.
She was good.
She just wanted to get banged out.
Yeah.
Next week, we are going to do something totally different. We are going to be talking about the first three episodes of an isekai anime called Life with an Ordinary Guy Who Reincarnated into a Total Fantasy Knockout.
Cool.
I am told it's funny. We'll watch episodes 1 to 3 on Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll.
I hope I laugh.
I hope you laugh at least one time, 1.0 times. All right. Let's get out of here, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great week. Talk to you then. Love you. Bye.